Let us pray together. Father, it's going to be very difficult to top what has already taken place this morning in this church. But I pray in the brief moments remaining that you would anoint my lips and my mind to convey your thoughts that you have given to me in a way that will bring everyone closer to you for the new year, and to have the confidence and assurance to know no matter what we or they may face, it will be with Jesus by our side. Open our hearts and minds to hear, Lord, and use me in spite of my faults, and let the praise and the honor and the glory go to you in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I have in my hand here my little Steps to Christ. It's a beautiful bound volume with my name on it. And then I have my four-color pen. This I carry in my Bible case. I have blue, green, black, and red, and I mark my Bible. One day I was challenged to try something I had never done before. And when I did, I received such a blessing, I wanted to share it with you as we face the new year. And that was, I took this little volume with my four-color pen and I read it carefully, chapter by chapter, marking in one color what this little volume said that it's impossible for me to do. In a different color, what this volume said I can do. And what this volume said in another color, what only God can do. And finally, in the fourth color, what you can do with God. And I want you to know, when I got done with this little book, which I've read repeatedly, by the way, it came down to this. What you can do, according to this book, is you can only study your Bible, you can only pray, you can only witness, and you can only cooperate with God. Now, by the way, I did not just now take away from you the excitement of doing what I just said to do, those four questions. Take four different pens if you want, or go down to Target like I do and get this beautiful Bic four-color pen, and you read it for yourself, what you can do, what you cannot do, what only God can do, and what you can do with God. When you're done and you go through this book in those four colors, you will get the answers to those four questions. And when you get to number two, what you can do, you will discover you can only study your Bible. You can only pray. You can only share. And you can only cooperate with God. You cannot change your heart. Do you know that? You cannot even stop sinning. We got too many people focused on their outward behavior and they're missing the power comes from spirituality. For the new years, this is going to be our emphasis, and I hope you will take this challenge and get this book. By the way, if you're a visitor and you do not have this volume, we've got plenty of them. I'll give it to you on your way out. Larry, that means you got to get a stack of them. I got some in my office. By the way, it won't be quite as nice as this one, okay? But the words are the same. And so let's take a closer look at this. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9 and notice what this incredible weeping prophet penned in the Old Testament about Bible study. Jeremiah 9, this is one of my most precious passages of Scripture, therefore I chose it. There are thousands of them in the Bible that we could have looked at that talk about the Bible. But let's see if this doesn't captivate you as it did me. Do you have Jeremiah 9? I hope you have your Bibles with you. You'll soon see why. The only things we can do is read our Bible, pray, witness, and cooperate with God. And if we're not doing any one of those four, folks, we are unbalanced, and sooner or later the others will disappear from our lives, believe it or not. Just, I dare you to drive a car with three tires. Okay? Then come tell me how it goes. You got it? Look what Jeremiah wrote. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord told me this. I want you to hear this. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Who here is wise? And let not the mighty man boast in his might. Who here is a mighty man? I always wish I had muscles. I have to wait till heaven. And let not the rich man boast in his riches. Well, okay, if the wise man shouldn't boast in his wisdom, the mighty man shouldn't boast in his might, and the rich man shouldn't boast in his riches. And by the way, I tried to think this through. I don't think there's another category that we could include that doesn't include all three of these. What in the world are we supposed to boast in? Yeah, I heard somebody say it timidly, but they said it. Verse 24, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. How in the world do we understand and know God? How? Study the Bible. That's right. Study the Bible. Those of you who are married, you got a great marriage if you talk to your spouse. If you don't, I can tell you right now, you don't have a good marriage. You don't spend time together, you don't have a good marriage. If you're going to boast about anything, no matter how mighty you are, no matter how wise you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how rich you are, the only thing you can boast is that you understand, by the way, notice that, and know me. Notice how it just precludes any of those who have the head knowledge. You know, well, we got them all down. I mean, boom, 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 boom. No, they got to understand with the knowledge. Me. It says me. Does the New Testament say the same thing? Look at John. John 17. Why did I pick that? The pastoral prayer by John. He interceded for us in that prayer. By the way, if you never noticed that he actually prayed for Peter and Neri in that prayer, you need to read it more closely. Because you'll discover he prayed for you in that prayer. And notice what he said in verse 3. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. I would say that to many people, John is one of the favorite authors of Scripture, not just because he also was the one that penned the book Revelation, but Savannah, he was the youngest disciple, and they figure he was probably about 17 or 18 when he joined ranks with Jesus. You beat him by a couple years. Of course, we're not really sure how old he was. Maybe he was 16. It's possible. And what does it say there? And this is life eternal. And you go, okay, what's life eternal? Didn't a lawyer come to Jesus and say, how can I obtain eternal life? Didn't he say that? And now here Jesus, we're getting over here in John, he's praying just before the Garden of Gethsemane. He's trying to give the most pertinent information to the disciples that they will need to bolster them to get through what's shortly going to transpire. They're going to be shaken to their roots. And in the third verse of this incredible prayer, at this time of anxiety and fear, he says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and who? Jesus Christ. And you know that word in the Greek, know, means intimate. It's the same word used for a husband and wife. I left it blank. For a husband and wife to be intimate. Know Jesus. How can we be Christians and not spend time in our Bible? By the way, one of the reasons why... Oh, I got to tell you this story. I got to... It's getting late. I was here till 10:30 last night, Christmas Day, working on the sermon. And all of a sudden the phone rings at 10:30. Now, who calls the church at 10:30 on Christmas night, right? Give me a break. Well, I looked at that and I thought, and usually if I'm in my office working on a sermon, I don't touch the phone. Of course, Diane obviously wasn't there. I picked it up and the lady wanted to know where a church was. I said, Lord, did you just want me here because this lady needed to know where a church was to get to for today? I thought, okay, I went home. I wasn't done. I was really perplexed. I got in bed and the Lord in bed said, no, that's not what you're going to preach. I went, Lord, wait a minute. I just, it's already 11 o'clock and I got what I've got. What are you going to do to me? And he said, no. And he gave it to me in my head, what you're getting right now. Why? Because if you're spending any less than an hour every day with Jesus, you are in trouble. Now, I've never said that before. I have never qualified your devotional experience with God, but I am going to start from now on. Folks, we are down to the wire and we really don't know Jesus as well as it will take to get through the time that is shortly going to begin to happen here. Actually, it's already started. And doesn't it say a thoughtful hour each day, contemplating the life of Christ, imagining in your mind especially the closing scenes of his life? If you're spending any time than less than an hour every day, I am worried about your future. This is no longer time to play games. Do we really know Jesus? This is life eternal. He didn't say that you do all the behavioral actions perfectly, that you stop sinning, that you're just this great pillar of strength in the church. He said that you know me. And by the way, those who stop sinning and those who are great pillars in the church and those who will be really influential and great will be that because they know Jesus Christ. If they don't, then they're doing it under their own works, and that's righteousness by works, and no one works their way to heaven. They must know Jesus Christ. They must know Jesus Christ. Here's my favorite quote, the book Education. I've shared it with you before. You'll get it as long as I'm here periodically. The creative energies, try to comprehend this, the creative energies that call the world's into is found where? Okay, now if you're a poor soul in this congregation that doesn't believe that God created in 7 literal days, I feel bad for you because this will mean nothing to you. Our God created in 6 literal 24-hour periods, and he rested on the Sabbath day. And now scientists and even churches are coming together and they're remaking it under theistic evolution. And if they have atheistic tendencies, it's just plain evolution, folks. And this text doesn't mean a thing. The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the Word of God. Now do you see why Satan does not want you in your Bible? Come to church. Be generous. Do the right behaviors. I don't care. Just don't know Jesus. Because in the Bible is the creative energy that called into existence the universe. And it says here, it transforms the nature and recreates the soul into what? The image of God. We must and can study our Bibles. Number two. Oh, in your bulletin. For the New Year's, you have a gift from the Lord. Did you see that? And those of you who want more of these, if we have any extra bulletins, you can pull them out on your way out. Here is a read through your Bible in 1 year. I challenge my church to follow this, mark it off every day, and follow the reading. Notice, by the way, you actually end up before the end of the year, which gives you time to catch up in case there's any circumstances that cause you to fall behind. Also, the readings are a little bit mixed so that when you get to the book of Leviticus, you won't give up. I like this plan. I challenge you to do it. Pick a version of the Bible that you've always wanted to read that may be different from the usual Bible you have and read through that. Follow this plan. At the end of the year, let's come together and see how many read their Bible. Wouldn't that be cool? By the way, the struggle is now going to be for all of us. Is the focus going to be to finish so that you can say, I read through my Bible, and forget that we're reading through our Bible to get to know Jesus? That's why we're doing it. Okay, number two. By the way, I'm almost done. You can rest and relax. Prayer. You can pray. And by the way, I hope you're praying. Because if you're not, notice, there's only four things you can do. You can't do anything else. If any one of these are missing, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Please go to Psalms 55:17. I love this one. Notice what David said. Now, who is David? David was the king of Israel. He brought it almost to the pinnacle of its glory. His son Solomon actually reached it to a greater height, but he's the one that launched it. He was the one that was called the man after mine own heart. And let me tell you, those of you who know your Bibles know that what he pulled with Bathsheba was one of the most hideous things for a man after God's own heart to do. But when you read Psalms 51, you find out that no one repented the way he repented. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. And also, what does it say in Psalms 55:17? Evening and morning and at noon, what will I do? I will pray and cry out. And what will happen? He will hear my voice. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop. How many times a day is that? Evening, morning, and noon. How you doing? How you doing? You want to be a man after God's own heart? Do you want to be a lady after God's own heart? Then you need to pray. Three times a day. And one of those prayers needs to be substantial. In fact, I'm going to show you a text. Guess what I did? I made a big mistake. I don't want John 17:3. I wanted Philippians 4. Let's look at we looked at the Old Testament. We look at the New Testament. Please turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Notice how Paul put it. Now, I picked Paul not because he's Jesus. I mean, I try to always pick Jesus. But I picked Paul because he's the preeminent theologian of the New Testament. Okay? He's the authority. I want you to see what this egghead, he probably would be a geek today. I want you to see what he said about prayer. What did he say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your supplications be known unto God. Now, what did he say for us to do? Don't be anxious or worried, which is one of the tenors of our society today. Instead, I want you to pray about everything. Make your requests be known unto God. And then look at the next verse. Do you not love this? And the, come on, peace that passes understanding will keep your hearts and mind in who? Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Your prayers will keep you in Christ Jesus. There we're back to that again. Brothers and sisters, we can't do that in this society in which we're living with all the busyness that is entangling all of us and all of the problems, perplexities, and trials we're all facing that even physically impairs many of us. we cannot afford to have a 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 45, 50, 59-minute devotion time every day. We must be over an hour. I don't care. I don't care if you accuse me of dogma. I am convinced because I've never said it before. So when you read this beautiful little book, Steps to Christ, you find out the only things you can do. You can't change your heart. You can't change your height. You can't change getting hair. But you can find it someplace else. But you can study your Bible. You can pray and you can share. And unless you do those three or four things cooperating with God, you are not a Christian. Anything short of those four, you're remaking the laws of the universe, and therefore you're under your own works. You're not trusting in God. That's not a good place to be. Hey, take a look at this quote, my favorite. I said that about the last quote. I'm giving you my favorites. Did you see this one? I wish it wouldn't have to be abbreviated. Mount of Blessings 102. Ready? It was from hours spent with God that he who's he, Jesus, came forth, how? Morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. The disciples had come to connect his what? Hours of prayer with his power of his words and his works. Now, grasp that one. The disciples came to the conclusion that Jesus' power in the words he spoke and the works he performed. Remember, his own family came and said he must rest. He's going to lose his mind. Remember? The people were constantly thronging him. And Jesus stayed and delayed and ministered. And they said he's got to get rest. He's got to get food. And they came to discover that the power to endure, the power to cope, the power to meet the demands of humanity came from his hours of prayer. How much more do we need it? So there's four things we can do. This is the second one. We must pray. So what do we do? Now, folks. Now you can feel a little hammered upon. Look in your bulletin, would you please? Do you see the announcement? I wonder how many churches do this. Oh. Notice it says Wednesday, day of fasting and prayer. The Paradise Church has declared Wednesday a day of fasting to practice denying yourself on a weekly basis, to practice sacrificing and keeping your mind clear because you're not constantly involved in digestive processes which drains the blood from your brain where you think down to your stomach and your intestines where you digest. So your mind will be clear, you'll be closer to the Lord, and then we pray from 6 to 7 here at the church for those who come. We pray from 12 to 1 here at the church for those who come. Or we pray from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening for those who come. And then we have prayer meeting from 6:30 to 7:30. And at this prayer time, you're not asked to pray, but while you're there with those who are willing to pray, you hear how they pray, and you learn new ways of praying for yourself. In the meantime, we're interceding for our congregation and each other, especially those who are out of work, who are hurting, who are losing their homes, who have wayward children, who are married to unbelieving spouses, who are having physical and medical difficulties. We're praying. And a handful of people come. And Jesus spent hours in prayer after ministering all day long. Friends, all we can do is study our Bible and we can pray. And we're providing opportunities for that prayer. We need you to come at one of those times. and participate. By the way, I forgot. I got to get back to the Bible. There's a concern of mine. You see the enthusiasm of the baptismal candidates. They study the Bible in an intimate way with some of our members, and then the Bible studies, so to speak, stop. Why? Because the church has a number of facilities to make up for the personal time that was spent in the Bible study. For example, Sabbath school at 9:15. And there they come together as a group and they study a lesson. Or if you're new, you go back with Fred and you study prophecy. Or you go with the young adults and you study what they're studying. And you're getting together and you're keeping the Bible active in your life. And what do some of these people do? They don't come, and pretty soon they lose their fervor and they quit. Read about the parable of the four different kinds of ground. Jesus warned us only one was good and three was bad. One of them, they sprouted up and they looked really good and were doing great, and suddenly they withered and died. Why? Because they became lackadaisical and like some of our church members who just show up for the sermon, maybe to be entertained. But I don't need Sabbath school. I want you to know something. You do. Now the time may not be sanctified, all right? But at least show up and then we can get creative about timing if you want. There's nothing to me sacred about the 11 o'clock hour. Except that we've called it that for years because that's what we set for church. I'd even meet here at 12 if we showed up at 10. If more people would come at 10 to Sabbath school. I wouldn't want to change the time and suddenly see the same people here at 10 that were here at 9:15. And what am I doing? I'm pleading for your soul, folks. I don't get anything out of this. We have got to stay committed. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And we come together and memorize the text after we sing song. We put the Word of God in our minds. And then we study a passage. These were all instituted by Christians moved upon by the Holy Spirit to keep the people strong in the face of adversity. And we have gotten weak, lethargic, lazy. And we speak of all how tired we are. Oh man, am I at work? We give all our time to the internet, to movies, music, to the boss. When we try to find something for God, can't do it anymore. Why? He needs you. Actually, God doesn't even need me. Folks, we have that prayer time. Come and listen to others the way they pray. We've got some outstanding people that pray. I listen to them and I go, man, Lord, I want to be that close to you. Teach me how to pray like that. Finally, what does that say? Witnessing. Now I'm just going to touch on this one because the sermon tomorrow, next week, for the new year starting, will be on the Good Samaritan. What an incredible parable that is that Jesus told. So you see, we can read our Bibles and we can pray, but unless we share, we will become gluttons like many of Americans are today. Right? Witnessing. Just turn to Matthew 25. Let's take a look at Matthew 25. Notice what Jesus said. He said something very simple. And I will leave it up to you to read this parable on your own. You should know this one by heart. In my Bible, it's titled, what is it titled in your Bible? Matthew 25 parable, starting with verse 31. What is it titled in your Bible? What? The final judgment. Okay, now we We found out what life eternal is, knowing God, didn't we? We found out what the secret of power of success is by time of prayer. And now we come to the final judgment. Okay, Jesus, how are you finally going to determine whether I get to go to heaven or not? Verse 40, and the King Jesus will answer and say to Peter, truly I say to you, Peter, to the extent that you did it to one of these brethren of mine, even the least of them, you did it to what? Me. What did he do? What did I do, Lord? What did I do? Well, I fed the hungry. That's what we do here. We feed the homeless every Saturday afternoon, except for the month of December. You know, it is funny. When I found out from Greg and those leading this, from Jackie, well, why don't you do it in December, man? That's Christmas. That's the neatest time. She said all the churches show up in Christmas, but they're not there the rest of the year. Now, I didn't mean that. Some of them. A lot of them. They'll all come out because, see, the Christmas season brings to our mind our need to do something, but it soon withers away and disappears for the rest of the year till it comes back around. We feed them every Sabbath in the afternoon and give them tracts and pray with them and give them encouragement. And if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I'm not going to belabor this because I'm going to preach on this next week. Because you know in this church we have a number of programs that have been instituted so you can practice this. The question is, are you participating in any of them? Why? The nature of true religion consists not in systems, creeds, or rites, but in what? Oh man, that's too few. But in what? The performance of loving deeds. You can read the rest of the quote for yourself. Are you doing performance of loving deeds? These are the three things that we can do. By the way, notice, I really cheated you because I'm not going to talk about cooperating with God. That's coming later. But those three we can do. Now notice, if you would, that starting on January 7th, what day is that? Thursday. Thursday night, January 7th, all the way to February 25th, for 8 consecutive Thursdays, we are having, who's coming here, the Red Cross? Who are they?
No, from the county.
The county is coming here to train us in community emergency response training. CERT, CERT. Why? Because, folks, if you haven't picked up on it yet, there will be an increase in natural disasters, and they will be desperately looking for individuals who are trained to give up their time to help victims in these horrible tragedies that will be multiplied and occurring in our society, and maybe right here in Nevada, if not in nearby California or whatever. And you will be trained so you'll be qualified to volunteer, and when you flash your badge and your experience, they will let you. And not only that, for those who participate, and I was hoping for 25, and so far we only have 15 signed up, including me. You get this backpack, and inside this backpack happens to be 2 D-cell batteries, 4 emergency blankets, 1 carry pack and National CERT logo, 1 crowbar, 1 duct tape, 2 dust masks, and 95 rated. Goggles, 1 goggle, polycarbonate lenses, 1 flashlight, 1 helmet, 1 chin strap, 1 permanent marker black, 1 label pack, 1 pair of leather palm gloves, 3 light sticks, 2... I'm not done. Do you get the point? It's yours. And when a disaster occurs, folks, you get your card that's in your pocket and you put your backpack on and you bring all these emergency tools that will be necessary when a crisis strikes. Here's an opportunity for us to hone our skills so we can be useful in a time of need. Why? Because there's really only three things we can do, although the fourth one, cooperating with God, is study our Bible, pray, and share. And notice, it just doesn't have to be Bible studies. When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. By the way, this is yours, Jill, right? Jill and Kurt have already gone through the certification. You both have a pack, right? And they're free. They're free. They're just waiting for something to happen so that you can come and they'll look at your credentials and they'll say, I need you over here. I need you over here. And other maybe wonderful, meaning people will be standing there. I want to help. I want to help. What training? I don't have any training. Well, you just stand over there. God has given Adventists so much, we need to give back without recognition of who we are or what we stand for. Why? Because Jesus did not look at their identification before he ministered to their needs. So what is the purpose of today? The purpose of today is this: to bring all of us this close to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would sort through these three points for each individual. In fact, the four points. And wherever anyone here needs to correct or adjust or to include, you would give them the conviction and the promise of the ability to produce, that we could respond in a positive way and begin to practice these principles. Lord, I want the Paradise Church to be the most loving, accepting, and trained, qualified church for helping, whether they know who we are or what we stand for or not. Just like Jesus. Help us, Lord, in this New Year's. And Lord, for those who are really wounded, I pray that you let them know you're with them. I pray, Lord, that they would remember that during the tough times, there's only one set of footprints because you're carrying us. You're no longer walking by our side. It wasn't enough. So you picked us up. And help us to respond together in unity, Father, and come together as a congregation and participate in these various activities so our lives can grow spiritually, but especially our children can be protected. So bless now. Move upon hearts and minds. And let decisions be made right now in the minds of each person present. Yes, Lord. I know you'll solidify those decisions and send angels to fortify them, so they can be for eternity. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.